hold while I try to connect you.
Hello, Sandy?
Yes, hello, Kriskin?
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
No, I can't, not at all. I very vaguely. Yeah.
Can you hear me clearly? I can hear you clearly. Is that better?
Yeah, there's no one on the other line.
Hello?
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 Anyone there?
Hello?
Deb, I don't think there's anyone on the line here. We'll have to... Hello? No, I guess not.
Hello?
Yes, now I hear you. Is it Sandy?
Yes, it is. Can you hear me now?
Very vaguely. Yeah, in the distance, yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness. Hello. Sorry about that. It must be a bad line.
Yeah. But you can hear me clearly?
I can hear you clearly, so as long as you can hear me enough to hear what I'm saying, I guess we're good.
All right. Are you taping this, Sandy?
I am. Is that okay with you?
Sure.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to talk to me today. I'm very excited to be able to talk with you. And so I'll just get started. Before we begin, though, I'd just like to give my readers a little bit of background information about you, if that's okay?
Sure.
Okay, so your name, The Amazing Kriskin, has a place... Yes, it is.
They're hearing it now, right?
It sure is.
All right, good.
Okay.
Let the listeners know because it's, we're talking to each other and we're not going to be editing it, which is great. Oh, yeah, I'm joking.
I love your sense of humor already. Okay.
Our listeners will be hearing what I'm saying, right? Sandy, you can hear me clearly now?
Absolutely, right? I can. No problem at all.
I like what you just said about the listeners will be hearing what we're saying because it's one of the tragedies of the Western world right now is we're starting to lose our sense of humor, and if we can't laugh at ourselves, we're in damn trouble.
I couldn't agree more, Kriskin. I have a great sense of humor, and I love anybody who does. So I'm thrilled that you have such a great sense of humor. Listen, I wanted to say. For 5.5 seasons, you hosted your own television series called The Amazing World of Kriskin. You've written 20 books, I think it is. And
I'm just finishing this week my 21st book, yes, Sandy.
Huh? Your 21st book? Wow, when is that coming out, Kriskin?
We don't know just yet. I'm very excited about it. My career has been like an adventure. I have as of 2 years ago, the airline industry estimates that I've flown in my career a little over 3.5 million miles.
Whoa! That's a lot of air miles.
I was doing an Eastern flight about a month ago, and the pilot, years ago I used to sit in the cockpit with them, but of course you can't do it anymore in most of the airlines, but they had me come to the cockpit before we took off. They said, Kriskin, the two of us here, in the cockpit, and our careers have been spent as pilots. We haven't combined flown the amount of miles you've covered. So, in my career, really has been Sandy like an adventure. That's all I can say.
That's absolutely incredible. And I also I know a few other things about you. You've got a million.
By the way, Sandy's being very cautious when she says a few other things, folks, because you don't want to see me in prison. I'm only joking, Sandy.
No, we definitely don't want that to happen, Kriskin. You've got a Milton Bradley board game named after you, and I love.
That's exciting. It's called Kriskin's ESP, and believe it or not, in the not so distant future, a new modernized version is coming out. They spent about a year preparing, and wait till you see it. But we'll talk. When that comes out, we'll talk about it, Sandy, again.
Well, that sounds good. I need to buy that game.
By the way, do you read Thoughts on the Side? I think Sandy's got a crystal ball there that's clearer than a bowling ball because she mentions my game. And here, who would have thought that a new version is in preparation? But there's a lot of interest in the field of paranormal
Well, that's fascinating because I didn't realize that you had a new version coming out. And I used to love playing board games as a kid, but I never knew until I started looking into things that you actually had a board game. I would have bought that back in the 70s if I'd known that.
Well, you know, Sandy, what's very interesting about your remark about a board game, it came to light about a month, 2 months ago. Researchers have found a very interesting phenomena that's taking place in the Western world, and that is after all these years, people, I'm not saying just kids, people are starting to play board games again. And the industry has found this a very fascinating phenomena. There are theories of why it's taking place. I've been interviewed about it, but that's kind of intriguing because for a long time, except for games in kids' stores and what have you, you didn't really hear that much about board games, you know?
No, I know. They sort of died off for a while. I played a ton of them when I was a kid in the 70s. My mother really inspired us to play board games a lot in our family. So I'm thrilled to hear you say that they're making a comeback, because I think that it's a wonderful thing for a family to do together.
You just said something, and that phrase, folks listening in, think of the phrase Sandy said, something for a family to do together, what has disappeared in much of the culture, certainly here in the United States, is an interesting phenomenon that is historically existence, and that is that families got together at least once a week, not just to have a Sunday or a Saturday, what have you, dinner, but just to converse and interrelate and so forth. And today, more and more in our culture, it doesn't happen as much. People are usually too busy. They got to go. They're going to go somewhere with someone and that, so forth. But it was a tremendous tradition that really was part of our culture. A word has disappeared in the Western world. I'm because I travel a great deal and have, as I told you, flown the amount of miles I have. I got 5.5 years off and on in Saudi Arabia and other areas where I guess in the next, there's a plan for me to tour India in the near future and what have you. But one thing has disappeared in Western culture, and that's a very key word, and a word that's made our culture, our towns and so forth safer in the past. That word is neighborhood. Oh. We don't have neighborhoods as much anymore. There was a time when people knew the people across the street. People knew the people down the way and what have you. And that doesn't exist as much today because years ago, when I was a kid, and by the way, that is not in the 1880s, that is in the 1950s, we used to play outside sometimes till 9 or 10 at night. But people, they didn't have televisions as frequently, so they didn't sit in the back room with the door closed and watched something. They sat outside, mom and dad and grandparents did, and interrelated with the neighbors who were also sitting outside. So it was nothing for Mrs. So-and-so got 2 blocks down and say, young man, you got to go home now. It's 9:30 and your folks are going to be waiting for it. And everyone was interrelated. And that word neighborhood is one of the keys to modern civilization and its safety.
I couldn't agree more. That's how it was when I was growing up. The neighborhood was a big thing for us and for my family. And, you know, you hit the nail on the head with that. And I hope that idea is coming back. I just wanted to touch on one other thing with you here in regards to your background. Actually, two. One is that you inspired Tom Hanks to base the main character in his 2009 feature film, The Great Buck Howard, on you. And you've also appeared on The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson, The Late Show with David Letterman, and The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon dozens of times. So,
well, in the case of Carson, the historical list says 61 times, but Carson never forgave NBC. Today we would think, oh my God, that's terrible. But years ago, it was a very common thing to do when you didn't discuss NBC with them privately because, can you believe this, they erased the first year or year and a half of all his shows.
What?
In the early days of broadcasting, Canada, the United States, people, there wasn't as much value placed on television shows, never thinking, well, these could become historical. York and what have you, and they were taped over and what have you and so forth. But I did 88 shows with Carson, and it was a show called The Mike Douglas Show, my own series, which we did originally out of Ottawa, the Canadian series, The Amazing World of Kreskin. I did it for 5.5 years. The first year or year and a half of the show was the second highest rated show in Canada. But then, as the years went by, in the third year, we did 2 seasons in England because the show, so Canadian, was seen all over the world. I appeared in Japan. That was an experience, Sandy, to see myself open my mouth and look at a video and hear a voice coming out that didn't even make sense to the words that they were saying because I didn't speak Japanese. But it was fascinating to see the coverage everywhere. And for 2 years, since the folks in Ottawa said, you know, we've been in Ottawa, we've been in Toronto, and we're going to have you go to Canada, my schedule was for 2 seasons, I flew to Canada from here in the New York area. I flew every Thursday to Canada and flew home every Tuesday so that I had one day home in the States so I could catch up business and so forth. And that went for 2 years. But it was exciting because it gave a screening with the celebrities that I appeared with from other parts of the world. And of course, that's now historic. By the way, on the internet, you can see some of the Hip Hour shows, and there's now interest. We'll keep our fingers crossed in my doing a new series because there's an audience out there that didn't see the original series in any way, and you know, the show was done as if it were live. I had one agreement, which a lot of people don't know about, with the head of the CTV network, and that was, well, they came to me near the end of the first year, early in the second year. It was an inside story that very few people know about. And the head of the network said, and when I walked in, I didn't know who they were. There were 4, 5, or 6 attorneys with them. I have nothing against attorneys, don't misunderstand me. I just wish that, Sandy, most of them were on the Titanic. But all kidding aside. So anyway, we're meeting, and he said, Kreskin, last week's show, what you did at the end of the half hour, it didn't work out. I said, no, it was a failure and what have you. He said, would you consider doing something over again if it fails? And the show was successful. It was new, and you don't jeopardize things. But I got very annoyed, Sandy, and I walked out on them. And I got to a phone, and I got to talk to my manager, who was in the States, in the Pennsylvania area near Philadelphia. And I said to him, I said, you know, this is what's going on. I do my show very legitimately live on tape. He said, Kreskin, don't say anything. Don't get upset. We'll see what happens. So, guess what? The head of the network, and people tell me here in the States, it's almost unheard of. He made a statement. He said, as long as Kreskin is doing his series, you are never to tamper with the show. Unless it goes overtime or what have you, you're never to edit anything out. You leave it the way it is. And what it did was, Sandy, it kept the integrity of my program. We have in the States here, you probably have them there, we have these lifestyle shows and these shows where guys get together and work in restaurants, other places, and so forth. And by the way, if you think these shows, folks, are live, I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge and what have you. I get a kick all the time. There was one famous show, one famous incident. It was a year ago, and I'm not going to mention the show, although some of you will know what it is. They got an argument, 4 or 5 of them, in a clothing store and all this jazz. And I used to get a kick out of it because the cameraman would call me because they knew me, and they'd say, Kreskin, you should watch. I said, well, I don't watch the show. They said, you got to look into it. I said, what do you mean? They said that argument they had took 9 takes before it looked like it was spontaneous. So the spontaneous true lifestyle, lifeness of broadcasting is slowly disappearing from the industry.
It is, and I think that's a shame, and I think that's what people tend to love about television is the spontaneous nature of live shows, and you know, you never know what's going to happen. So
that's what made now there are multiple Tonight shows now, and some very good ones in Canada and the States. But that was the great appeal of the Carson show, and Jimmy Fallon has the same ruling. If mistakes happen, You run with the mistakes. You make something out of them.
That's right.
A man saw me years ago before I was known internationally on a show. Now, you would not know this show, Sandy, because it would be before your time. It was the Steve Allen Show, and it was a Tonight Show. And Steve Allen, this is before Jack Parr, and I got to know Steve Allen well. He was a brilliant, brilliant humorist. He's no longer with us. And anyway, he had a show on, but he left the show, and he took it to another part of the country and what have you, and it was done out of L.A., and the young, college students were watching it all the time. I was already performing, but I was also college age, and he heard about me in New York here, and he flew me out to L.A., and he said to the audience, he says, folks, we're all interested in ESP. This gentleman has an unusual gift. Would you welcome Kreskin? I didn't have the name Amazing. That was something that Johnny Carson gave me years later, but I had not met Carson. So he said, here's Kreskin. I walk out on camera, and Sandy, in the 1960s, the lights were very bright, and I am sure, know-it-all. I didn't know a lot about the business. I'm looking right at the camera that's following me as I'm walking from my entrance towards the dais, where Steve Allen is standing on a dais, because they're all elevated, like Fallon and like Parr and everybody else, and all the others through the years. And as I'm watching the camera, the lights around the camera are blindingly bright, and I start to get blinded slowly. I get to the dais where Steve Allen's standing. I trip over the dais, and Sandy, I fall flat on my face. And
oh, my gosh.
I'm opening a national TV. It's a lot flat on my face. My family says it's the highlight of my career. But anyway, so Steve Allen, he wasn't the kind of person who would mock anybody or so forth. He said, you're all right, Kreskin, and so forth. And he said, let's go on with things. I had about a half an hour on the show, which was a long time.
Yes.
But a man was watching that show that night, because when he had taken over the Tonight Show, now that Steve Allen had left. When he did the Tonight Show, he did it early in the, late in the day. Then he went home to his hotel, then in New York.
Yeah.
And it was Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson was watching the show. He heard Immense List is on. He saw the scene of my toppling over on the dais. And 7 weeks later, he created a character on his show called Karnak the Magnificent.
Yes, I remember that.
I saw Karnak. Karnak fell over the desk, and that was me.
Oh, my gosh.
The last show I did with Johnny, I said, Johnny, you've been very good to me all these years, and he now was in L.A., and I said, Johnny, I can't thank you. You made my name continuous. He says, oh, the mighty Karnak.
Oh, that's...
Sandy, you can't erase your past in this day and age.
No, you can't, that's for sure. But, oh, that's an incredible story, and I totally remember him doing those skits, so I love hearing that one. So speaking of, I think you said just a few moments ago that it was actually Johnny Carson that gave you the name The Amazing Kreskin. Is that correct?
Well, Sandy, my name was one name because my original name was Kreskin, K-R-E-S-G. My family on my father's side are from Poland. My family from my mother's side is from Sicily. So I had at one time I had an investment in Allentown, Pennsylvania, on my father's side of the family, 84 relatives, so that was a sizable
family. Oh, my gosh.
But I changed the K-R-E-S-G-E and created my own name, Kreskin, which is an original name.
Right.
I kept the K-R-E-S-K-I-N. But the name, I never had the name, I never used the name Amazing, but early in my career, and I've been doing the Carson Show, I would be going on airplanes or coming off a plane, and people boarding the plane or coming off it would say, hi, Amazing. Hello, Amazing. What have you? I'd say to my road manager, it's nice that they recognize me from television, but they're describing me, what I do is Amazing. And then I found out that Johnny Carson had a routine with Ed McMahon. Ed McMahon was his announcer, and they had a lot of routines together. And when I was going to be on the next day, or the following Monday after the weekend, Carson would say to Ed McMahon, Ed, well, you know who's on the next Monday or tomorrow? Kreskin. You know, the last time he was on with us, he was 90% amazing. And McMahon would say, no, John, it was 92% amazing. And they have a routine. And that's how I got the name amazing, from the comedy routine they were doing.
I love it. I've never heard that either. That's so fascinating. That's a great way to get a name, no doubt about it. So listen, okay, so I want to clear something up here. You are not a psychic. And you've never claimed to be. You call yourself a mentalist or a thought reader. What's the difference between what you do and a psychic?
Well, should you answer that? Years ago, before your time, there was a legendary anthropologist, Dr. Margaret Mead. She was a brilliant, brilliant woman. And when I was a kid, when things happened, the issues took place, no matter what they were, they'd often have her on to comment, because she lived a couple of years with pygmies in other parts of the world. She lived in Africa. She was describing society at different times. And we got to know each other. She was a professor at a university in New York State, and when I would be performing in that area, she'd often bring 200 students to my performances. She says, I want you to know an area that we don't understand, but people in traditional older societies accept this as part of their society, and this paranormal phenomena and what have you. She didn't want me to call myself a mentalist. Very interesting. She says, I want you to call yourself, we used this in hotel rooms and talk about things, and she says, why don't you use the term sensitive? Well, those folks, the word sensitive was better known before the 1940s, in the 1930s and the 1800s and what have you. People in book stories or in real life that seem to have unusual gifts of perception were called sensitives. Yeah. Mentalist is an entertainment term, and she was afraid that people are going to mix me up with a magic act and what have you and so forth. But I said, you know, Dr. Mead, if I call myself a sensitive, I probably have to spend the first 10 minutes of the show explaining what that means. But the truth, what I do is, let me explain it in this way. A couple of years ago at the Riviera, and it's an anecdote of mine I love to refer back to because it's graphic and what it explains what I do. I have my audience in front of me. This is a nightclub audience, and my audiences vary. A couple of weeks ago in August 19th in Hamilton, outside of Hamilton,
yes,
at the Dundee Cactus Festival, I did a performance that was outdoors, and that meant my entire audience, either standing or sitting, was outdoors, and I love the audience. It was high noon, but in spite of the heat and what have you, and my wearing sunglasses, it was the 2 hours and 15 minutes were a highly receptive audience. Well, it could be a banquet hall, a Carnegie Hall, with four balconies of people and what have you, and Minnesota State Fair was 10,000, Oregon State Fair, my audience was 30,000.
Nice.
A lot of times I'm in a live theater and what have you, and at the Riviera a couple years ago in Vegas, I'm with my audience, and I'm asking them to think of something. Just think, don't say out loud, just think of something. And I said, somebody in the audience is thinking of these two names. And this elderly gentleman stood up, and I said, sir, how do you know these people? And the gentleman says, Kreskin, they're not people we know. We do not live here in Las Vegas. We're visiting here, and we came to see you. But I forget what part of the country they live in, and those are our two pet dogs. We love them dearly.
Oh.
And I happen to love animals. I have four cats here in the house. I love animals with a passion.
Oh, me
too. By the
way,
and I've been quoted all over the world, Sandy, the reason dogs make better friends than people, and I've been quoted even in Germany in a German textbook, but the reason dogs make better friends than people is they wag their tails, not their tongues. He's standing there, and I said, well, Jay, I said, did you say to your wife, I wonder if Kreskin can tell me my army number? Sandy, I wish I had a camera there. I wish this was a videotaped television piece, because he slammed his fist down on the small nightclub table he was at, because the place was filled with people sitting at their own tables in the club. He slammed his fist down, and he says, I sure did say that to her. Kreskin? That was at the hotel we're staying at.
Wow.
That's not even near here. And that was like 6 o'clock tonight, and he was stunned. Oh. I said, who have you told in your life your Army number? Well, you folks out in Canada, ask your friends or relatives who were in the service. Ask a gal or a guy. None of them ever forget their Army military number.
They never
talk to anybody about it, because like he said, Chris, I never thought of mentioning it to my wife because it didn't seem significant. He said, I don't know if anybody else knows it. And I told him to concentrate. I told him to spell out in his mind. And Sandy, I gave him every single digit in his Army serial number, and he was in World War II.
Oh, my gosh.
My work deals with, it's not that I can tell you, yes, I've made some very dramatic predictions in my life, and some have gotten me, I predicted the last four elections here in these states, but it isn't that I'm looking into a future. My life, my audiences are my equipment. I don't have an orchestra on stage. I don't
right.
have paraphernalia. I'm tuning in the thoughts of my audience. And really, Sandy, I get to sense in many, many ways how my audiences think. So it's not that I'm foretelling the future. But in his case, of course, he knew the answer to the question, or I would never have been able to tell me. One of the things that got tremendous coverage a few months ago was the incident that happened regarding the internet and Facebook.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And I have every week now, folks, go look on my page on Facebook. I have one or two commentaries every week about what's going on around the religious stuff through me, so I made an agreement with them. But what happened with Facebook was something when a couple months ago when Facebook had the scandal and Zuckerberg was a brilliant young man, went before Congress and what have you, the story broke because someone uncovered the prediction. Some years ago, in an interview, and the interview took place in 2012, and you can see the copies on my webpage, AmazingCreskin.com. But I was being interviewed by Forbes magazine and New York magazine and what have you. And during the interview in 2012, I issued a prediction. And it's not the kind of thing I would suddenly interrupt and talk about, but it was a dark prediction about the future of the social network and its billionaire founder, Mark Zuckerberg. And my prediction was that in 6 years, Facebook will turn its picture and will not be known in quite the same way today because of a very serious issue which will break out. Well, when this happened, when this story broke in April of this year, and
yeah.
the stories got on April, around April 4th, they uncovered the story because I made the prediction in 2012, and it was exactly as I said, 6 years before it happened. And I've been interviewed constantly. I said, Chris, what made you pinpoint 6 years? What made you even say that?
That's what
Sandy,
I was going to ask.
I have to be honest with you, I don't know, because I don't look into a crystal ball and get exact dates.
No.
But I had a feeling of what's going to unwind, and a lot of things in Facebook now are changing, as are in other areas of these services, because what's happening in our culture today is our privacy is slowly being eroded. And I tell this, I've done over 1,000 university shows in the United States and Canada, and I say, you parents and you students as well need to know one thing. There are almost no secrets left in modern society today. None.
You're absolutely right about that.
And I'll tell you one thing, and it's not because I performed in Germany or whatever, I'm not going to brag about that and so forth, but I can tell you companies as far away as Germany that when young people come to the country, they want to work and they're from the States and so forth, and the people interviewing them will say, gee, where are you from? They mentioned, well, maybe New York. Well, when did you go to college? As soon as they mentioned a time frame, there was a period of time when a few years ago there was a march on Wall Street, and some of the behavior was not wise. There were people defecating on cars and whatever. I'm not against protests, but it was not the, some of the things were not wise.
Right.
Do you know, and I'm telling you this as a fact, that some of the members of the people who are interviewing the person go into another room, and on a wall are flashed the pictures of the hundreds and hundreds of people who marched on Wall Street to see if this person was in the picture. And that is why certain people have still found it difficult to get jobs in certain industries. You can't erase things anymore,
wow.
Sandy. And people have told me, as I've lectured around the world, Kreskin, you owe it to tell people what the hell is going on. We don't realize what how technology is changing our culture. I will tell you this, and you know this, and I talked to people a couple of days ago, they interviewed me, they said, oh, Kreskin, I was out to dinner the other day, and I brought up something I never talked about before, and 2 days later, I got in the mail catalogs about that product and did I want to buy it and so forth, because our, in many situations, our cell phones are always on and recording what is being said.
Oh, absolutely. And the minute you Google something, you know, an hour later, you're on your Facebook page and there the ads are coming up all about the item you were looking up.
So, you know, by the way, Sandy, I could talk to you for hours. I enjoy talking to you. And by the way, I got, now this is a cliffhanger and it's not fair to do that, but you know, that show was a clip. I have something in the next month or two that's one of the most exciting announcements of my career. We've got to keep it touch because it'll be amongst the first, and I want, Canada's my second home. Many Canadian folks for years thought that I was born and lived in Canada because Canada's been so very important to me with the series and what have you, but I got something special to announce. And by the way, I want to also say this to the listeners. Folks, the day that I meet Sandy and I'm on the air live with her in person, I promise you folks, I dare not read her thoughts on the air. I'm joking, Sandy, I'm joking.
I was going to ask you, actually, if you have any predictions for me, or... go ahead, sorry.
I have to tell you something, because people who know me through the years, and some people in broadcasting have known me, you know, like 40 years, what have you, 60 years, they do know I haven't... A thought reading, I can't say, I won't project in that way. I usually need to meet with a person in person, but my hearing is happens to be extraordinarily highly sensitive, and I hear within about 30 seconds a person's voice and can get a feel whether they're in good spirits, there's something ominous, or that they're worried about, they're calling me out, and then people say, they don't even ask me anymore, but you have, and I say this for listeners to hear, you have a very contagiously refreshing voice that makes people feel very, very comfortable, and that's one of the priceless gifts of broadcasting, the voice, and I compliment you on it, because that's, you're going to soar with that, and that you can't buy anyway. That's a natural.
Aw, thank you, Kreskin. That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. Wow, you just made my day.
Well, I mean that sincerely, and you know, also you have a gift which a lot of you that are going to school and want to go into broadcasting, what have you, or into other areas where you're dealing with people, and Sandy, I think you'd be amongst the first to agree with me, one of the most important tools, and hear me when I say this, folks, young folks going to college, and some of them, when I have interviews after shows at university, say, you know, I never was said so strongly, for goodness sakes, when you're meeting someone, when you're dealing with someone, whatever the situation, listen. Listen to what they're saying and hear the way they're speaking. Because you want to be able to walk away and reflect upon what you heard. And Sandy, because of the speed with which we're getting answers and we're hearing answers on a machine and what have you, people are not listening as they once did.
Wow, that's incredible advice.
And hear me, folks, when I tell you this, and listen to me. You can hear a person sometimes when you're with them, even when they're not speaking. A person in love knows this, and people in many walks of life said, you're absolutely right, Kreskin. I sometimes go for walks with people because there was something said by the American Indian many decades ago. You do not judge a person until you've learned to walk in their shoes.
Ah, yes. I've heard that one before.
I'm here.
I couldn't hear you either for a second. I think it's the line again, but no, we're all good. Listen, how are you doing for time here? I'm not sure how much time I have.
We had about a half an hour. Have we gone over half an hour already?
Oh, we certainly have. This has been an absolutely incredible interview, Kreskin. Thank you so much.
Andy, what we'll do is I'm going to be leaving for actually a personal appearance, believe it or not, at noon at a luncheon. What's fascinating about my work is the extent of the audience. One of the most fascinating shows I did recently was a show for some producers who hired me to perform for them. Sandy, the audience was four people.
Oh, my goodness.
And I performed, supposed to be an hour, I performed for an hour and a half. But my audiences are everywhere from banquet groups to private corporate affairs and what have you. And it's so refreshing to tune in on people because everyone is interested in the mind and some of the areas of our thinking that we really don't understand that greatly. I just feel that this, what I'm sharing with, and my love of my work is as great today as it ever was in the past. That's why, there you say, my 21st book, people know me, say, you have so many stories to tell. Funny, I can tell you crazy things that have happened in Saudi Arabia, things that happened in England, things that happened with the presidents and what have you, and I can go on, but you know what I'd like to do? I'm going to have to move on now, but let's plan within maybe 3 or 4 weeks. If you contact me, hopefully by then I will have the announcement to make, because there's so much more to say, and you're going to continue being doing these interviews, aren't you, Sandy, huh?
Well, I am, and I have to tell you, I'm absolutely thrilled with this interview, because your storytelling is incredible, and I had all kinds of questions lined up for you, but I didn't even need any of my questions.
Can I share something with you? And everybody who's known me through the years, a lot of the press got a kick out of it. They say, Kreskin, and I some reporters that were with the National Syndicated News Service and stuff, they kid me. They said, you know, Kreskin, I sat here with a list of questions, but two or three things I asked you and things you mentioned and I responded to took us into different areas. And they said, my God, I almost never got to the questions. But, you know, that's because I love to hear what someone says. I hear what they're interested in. And sometimes it triggers off an incident that we never thought of talking about. So, you know, my philosophy is this, Sandy, and this is the philosophy of broadcasting and communication. I'm not going to say goodbye to you and your listeners. Just in the spirit of broadcasting, let's say something I've said all through the years.
Okay.
Be continued. Okay, Sandy?
Oh, that's perfect, Kreskin. Well, thank you so very, very much for chatting with me today. It's been absolutely lovely hearing your stories, and I really appreciate it.
Godspeed, and we'll talk soon. Take care, Sandy.
Okay, and you too, Kreskin. Thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you.